Okay, so today is August 15th. We are going to start Chapter 2, Basic Chemistry. You can find this material in two places. One is the PowerPoint, and that PowerPoint is already on D2L in the content area for you, or you can find this information in your course pack. And we're going to start on page 4 for Basic Chemistry. In the past, I have found that chemistry is a topic that is somewhat challenging for people. It is a topic that people struggle through. So this may be a chapter that you want to spend a little extra time brushing up on. Make sure you feel comfortable with this material. So there's a list of topics on the top of page 4. I'm just going to flip through these, but I did want you to know there's a lot of content here in this chapter. A lot of these terms may seem familiar. You've probably seen them at some point in a science class before, but we are going to eventually talk about every one of these terms as we work through Chapter 2 information. So the first thing we're going to look at is a periodic table of elements, and that's actually one of our first terms that we need to look at. When we think about elements, we think about chemicals, and there's something that each chemical here has that is unique to it. How would you describe an element?
Atoms,
good. Are they different kinds of atoms making up, say, gold, or are they same types of atoms making up gold?
Same
types, good. So there's something to kind of keep in mind, is that elements are made up of the same types of atoms. Elements are composed of the same types of atoms. Okay, so elements are composed of the same types of atoms. Elements are considered matter, and if you have matter, then you have mass. Okay, so matter is another one of those chemistry terms. Matter is anything that takes up space and has mass. Okay, matter is anything that takes up space and has mass. Matter is anything that takes up space and has mass. So what are elements composed of?
Same
types of atoms. Good, good. So we're not going to memorize the periodic table. We just want to be familiar with a few key elements on this periodic table. They are in your course pack on page 4 at the very bottom. I'd like to walk you through those. Let's start with the most common element in the human body. And guess what that is? Oxygen. Okay. In fact, the top 4 there, oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, those top 4, of course, make up about 98% of your body's mass. So we've got water, H2O, hydrogens and oxygens that really make up a large portion of that. So water, hydrogens, and oxygens actually account for around 60% of your body's mass. So believe it or not, we're sloshy water, okay? So babies are really plump. You know how if you touch a baby's skin, such soft, supple skin? That's because they contain the most water. We often joke that old people turn into raisins. They prune up. Their skin dries out, as does the rest of their body. So what's that?
Well, because they carry less water.
They carry less water, exactly. Good. So the average adult has somewhere around, say, 60-65% of their body being made of water, which is H2 and, you know, two H's and an O. So those two, of course, are very important. Carbon's our backbone for organic molecules. That's going to compose a lot of our carbs, proteins, lipids, nucleic acid. So we're going to find that one to be a very common element. And then, of course, nitrogen rounds out the top 4. If you want a quick and easy way to remember those top four, you can rearrange the letters as Chon, good, C-H-O, and N. You can do it another way. You can do it as honk, H-O-N-C. Calcium, phosphorus, potassium. Keep in mind, those elements have symbols. You'll want to recognize those symbols. And let me make a note here. Notice that phosphorus has a symbol of P, but potassium has a symbol of K. So don't get into the boat of mixing those two up. Okay? The name for potassium actually comes from a Latin name that starts with K, so that's why that strange letter shows up for potassium. You will learn a lot about calcium and phosphorus in this course. They're actually major components of bones. Good. Okay. Potassium, sodium, chlorine, and magnesium, those next four, you will notice that they are ions that are found either inside your cells or outside your cells. And they're going to be a big part of our conversation in Bio 211. We will talk about how those help maintain hydration. If you have an electrolyte imbalance, you have an imbalance of probably one of those four: potassium, sodium, less so chlorine, or magnesium. Let's see, sulfur is part of protein structure. If you straighten your hair with a chemical relaxant, if you curl your hair with a chemical perm, then you probably smelled how awful that odor is. And that's because we use sulfur to change the bond structure in your hair. So that's one way to keep straight, that proteins contain sulfur, if you think about how we chemically straighten or curl our hair. So why is iron important? Good. Transports oxygen on hemoglobin. Good. So, of course, it's part of the reason that blood is red in color. That is the oxygen and hemoglobin binding each other. Finally, iodine down there, trace element, but very important. It helps to run your thyroid hormone. It is important for metabolism. Boy, won't you know it if your thyroid doesn't work. Gotta.
No thyroid.
No thyroid. So, boy, won't you know about iodine. And I'm hypothyroid, so I feel for you. Okay, so what do you do with that chart? I would look at the element name, be sure you know its symbol. That may be something you already know, which is great. And then look at what their major functions are. There's more information in your book if you want to read a little more on those, but this is just to kind of get us off the ground so we can have a conversation as we go through the course. How about questions on that page? Y'all feel good so far? Okay. So I am sure you've heard about atoms before. We know atoms of the same kind compose what? Elements, good. Atoms of the same kind compose elements. And of course, they can be broken down into their subatomic particles. They are protons. Neutrons, electrons, good. So we know that protons and this buddy neutron are found in the central portion of an atom. That central portion is called what? Nucleus. Good. And so the proton carries a positive charge. Neutron carries what type of charge? Neutral. So that means like no charge. The electrons you'll notice are found orbiting the nucleus. They are negatively charged. Typical atom. I'm going to pick on carbon since it's one of our top four in the human body. And we know carbon has six protons, and some isotopes, which we'll talk about that word in a few minutes, have six neutrons.
I'm going to represent the protons with a P, and let's say the neutrons are represented by this lowercase n. By the way, sometimes they will put 6 with a plus. Again, that's the positive charge for the protons. And that little zero there is actually a symbol that represents no charge for the neutron. So you may see it written both ways. They're going to be in the nucleus of our atom, and I'm going to now place orbitals around that atom. The innermost orbital is pretty tight, it's pretty close, it's hugging right up against that nucleus. Because it doesn't have a lot of space, we're limited, right? So we don't have a whole lot of room. This is my habit. I put a negative symbol and I circle it, and that reminds me that electrons carry what charge?
Negative.
Good. So if I have 6 protons, how many electrons should I have?
You had
6 is right. Good. And so I don't have room on this tiny inner orbital. Let's put another orbital, a little bit bigger. And I now need to place the rest of my electrons here. How many?
4.
Good. So there's a fancy word that describes that outermost orbital. That outermost orbital is called our what?
Valence.
Good. Now, that valence shell here happens to be pretty big. In fact, it can hold a lot more electrons than what we've currently got there. This valence shell here can hold a maximum of?
16.
This one's 8. The next one would be like 18.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, 8 is actually an important number because it is considered to be our stable number. So when you have an electron, or an atom rather, with 8 electrons in its valence shell, we would say it's stable. And when it's stable, it doesn't tend to bond with other atoms. Would you say that this atom here is stable?
No.
Not stable. There's a name that tells us what's actually going on. Because it has room for more electrons, we'd say it's reactive. It's going to look for a way to get 8 electrons in that outermost orbital or valence shell. So we're actually talking about a rule. Octet rule, good. And what is that rule? Got to have 8 in your valence shell. And if you have 8 in your valence shell, you are considered what?
Stable.
Good.
When you asked about the protons, you asked him what number should go here,
mm-hmm.
and he told you
mm-hmm.
why.
Why?
That's what I mean when I say I don't know why.
Why there's two?
Like when you did the negative mm-hmm. around before you got to the valence shell,
yeah.
you asked him how many can go in the other one. Because the 6 protons in all, you put 2 on the first one.
Right.
All right, so the whatever was left from the protons would have to go in the second round.
Left from the electrons, yeah.
From.
We'll do several.
I understand what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying?
The protons go equal the electrons. They go always equal each other.
Yeah, however many
and
protons you have is the same number of electrons.
So the electrons is the N.
No, it's the negative ones on the opposite.
Okay.
And that's going to be Don't protons and neutrons, electrons equal the atomic number?
That's right.
So that's the element of which one is it? It's a six of the
carbon.
So yeah. So basically, whatever the atomic number is, that's gonna be the number of protons and electrons.
Okay.
I forgot how you find neutrons. Isn't that something minor?
Subtract.
Yeah,
subtract the mass.
Minor.
Yeah.
Okay, mass.
We'll be doing that too on the next page. Yeah. So that's all good.
Yeah. See. The way he explained it, now I understand.
Okay.
But I wasn't getting it.
We're going to do four of these.
Okay.
So I hope by the time we get through the fourth one, it'll be like, I'm good.
Okay.
And if you're not, let me know. We'll do another one.
Okay.
Okay.
I forgot. Is the valence shell going to be the outermost one or is it just the second?
It's the outermost.
Always the outermost.
The outermost.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. Appreciate it.
All right, I'm going to see where you're hitting and where you're missing. So if you'll take a moment, maybe on a scrap corner of your paper, just see if you can jot down how this atom would look if you drew it out for me with 8 protons, 8 electrons, and 9 neutrons. And then we'll talk about neutral and stable.
Want to walk me through it? Okay, so what do I put in the nucleus?
Nine zero, nine in, good.
All right, so nucleus is done. I've taken care of my protons and my neutrons, and my orbital around the nucleus is tight, it's tiny, it only holds how many electrons?
Just two.
I should just mention to you, if this was a chemistry class, where I put them would be important. It's not chemistry class, don't worry about where you put them on there. Two happens to be the happy number. It's called the duet rule, like a dance, a duet. And so therefore, if this was all we had, then that would be a stable atom, right? But we actually have how many total? Eight to distribute. So I filled up the innermost orbital with all I can put there. What do I do now?
Draw another shell.
Draw another shell. All right, and I need to place how many electrons there?
Six.
Now, this shell is my outermost shell. It has a special name. It's called my
valence
shell. And I'm going to check my valence shell to see if it satisfies the octet rule. Does it?
No.
Because I am not... I don't have how many?
Eight.
I should have had eight to satisfy the octet rule. So yeah, I'm kind of short in terms of satisfying it. Now, how many more electrons would it take to satisfy the octet?
So two.
Two more, good. Would you call this a stable?
No.
Reactive.
Reactive, right. So we did not hit the octet rule. It wants to bond, yeah. It's going to give me your electrons, all right?
And you said reactive is not stable, right?
Reactive is not stable, that's right. Let's throw in another word. We've been talking about this neutral thing. So when we're looking at atoms on the periodic table, we're going to assume that they're neutral. And what that means is my positive charges equal my negative charges. My positive charges are which one of these particles?
No.
My protons, my
protons.
And my negative charges are electrons.
Well, you just said just now, you said a positive equal.
Positive equals the negatives.
So protons equals electrons.
Yeah, protons. When protons equal your electrons, the atom is neutral. So when protons equal electrons, that atom is neutral. So we just did two atoms. Let's take a look at the one on the far left. It had eight protons, nine neutrons, eight electrons. Is it neutral?
Yeah.
Same protons as neutrons, or sorry, electrons. Yes, so this one is neutral. Don't confuse neutral with stable, right? Okay, stable is looking at that valence shell and counting for eight. Okay, totally different can of worms. Neutral is just looking at these two charges, positive and negative. Do they cancel out?
But don't most of them be considered neutral because since they hate each other?
Right, we're going to...
And then start taking electrons away and stuff?
Yeah, we're going to assume that when we look at the periodic table, everything's neutral, mm-hmm. except when we start talking about losing and gaining through bond formation. Yeah. How about this one? This one had six protons, six neutrons, total of six electrons. Is it neutral?
Yes.
It's neutral. And it's neutral, why?
Because protons and electrons are the same.
Good. Protons and electrons are the same. Is it stable?
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't have
eight
in the valence shell. Right. Okay, so two different terms not to get confused, right?
Right.
Okay. Let's do another. Let's see. Give you a moment to draw out this one. Anybody need the carbon atom? I'm going to erase it. Okay. Thank you.
You want to draw it?
Don't draw it.
You want to draw it?
Yeah,
you want to tell me how to do it?
I can tell you. Okay. All right, you make nucleus.
Okay.
And then you put 13P plug in. Mm-hmm. And then you make on first shell.
Okay.
Two more.
Okay.
And then make another one.
Okay.
And then you go ahead and fill it out with the eight, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then you make the last shell, you put three of them. And it's neutral, but it's I don't know because it got 8 on the second one, but the last one.
Mm-hmm.
It had 18.
Yeah,
so that
so
means
it's not safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
safe. It is reactive. What do you think? Did we do it right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's walk through it. 13 protons, 12 neutrons, that's easy. Put them in the nucleus, you're done with them. The electrons are the trick. The electrons are built on orbitals or shells. The innermost is tiny, it only holds two. I call it my sports car orbital. It's just a two-seater, okay? Now, I had 13 electrons to distribute. I took care of two of them on the innermost orbital. That means I had 11 more to place on orbital. So I draw another one. This one's a little bit bigger. I call it my minivan orbital. It holds 8. And that also happens to be a magic number called our what rule?
Octet
rule. So catch the thing here. This second orbital is full with 8. It's also stable with 8. Okay? Just happens to be the same number for that second orbital. But we actually had 13 electrons to distribute. I took care of 1, 2, now I took care of 8, so I've got what? 10 total, 3 left. Come on out, build you another orbital. I put my 3 on this orbital. I know that it's really big and it holds up to 18. Not a number that's really important to remember. It's, keep it in your brain if you feel like it will stick. If not, don't worry about it. But what's really important to know is a magic number that makes us stable, and that is
8.
Doesn't have it. So which term describes we are not satisfying the octet rule?
Reactive.
We're not stable. Okay. So
that was 18 on that bed.
Yeah. We could fit up to 18. It's like my bus orbital. Okay. So you get bigger, you can hold more, but 8's our magic number.
But at 8, it's stable.
At 8, it's stable.
Oh,
yeah.
Even on that one.
Yeah. Even on this one. Yeah. So if I kept drawing orbitals, my magic number for stability is
8.
And that is the what rule?
Octet
rule. The only exception is teeny tiny innermost orbital. It holds only how many?
2.
And that makes it stable. So that's my exception, that every orbital, as I keep drawing out and out, my magic number for stability is 8. Okay?
So if this thing, the last show had more than 8, say if it had 9, would it still be considered stable, or would you consider it?
It's going to want to dump one.
Yeah,
it's going to want to, it says, hey, I just like 8, but here, could you take this one for me? I don't really want it. So it'll dump it.
Would you put that, you would just put that all on that outer valence shell? If it was 9, like you said?
Yeah, if it was 9, I would just, I could put up to 18 out
18.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then it'd be still stable, right?
Still stable.
Right. Still, with 8 it's stable, 9 makes me unstable.
Oh.
Okay.
So 12 makes me unstable. But we're touching into chemistry that we don't need to go into. So we'll just know that 8 is stable for those shells, more or less, and you're gonna wanna dump or steal electrons to be full with 8.
We gonna do that part?
We are not gonna do that part.
Yay.
Yeah. That is all the chemistry we need to do.
Excuse me, I wanna get clarification.
Sure.
On the third valence shell.
Okay.
You said 18 total on that line or 10?
It can hold up to 18.
18, okay.
But it's stable with just 8.
Just stable with just 8, but
yeah.
You can hold up to 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of think of it like if you're going to take a bus trip, your bus holds 18 people, but it's not going to make me any money unless I get 8 people to ride. So when I get 8 riders, 8 stable, then I'm good. So anything less than that, it's going to be looking to borrow or trade electrons or share them with some other atom.
Okay.
So the magic number here is 8 for stability. I know we're almost out of time. I do want to point out to you a couple of terms, and we can continue this thought, of course, on Tuesday. Let me go one more screen. All right. So one last thought for today is this term called atomic number. And the atomic number happens to be the same thing as one of our subatomic particles. Which particle tells me?
Protons.
Good. So the atomic number is always the number of protons. The atomic number always tells the number of protons. Right, right. And if it's neutral, what does neutral mean? Protons and electrons are the same. So if it's neutral and I say I've got 19 as my atomic number, 19 is my protons, 19 is my electrons, right. So I look at the periodic table and I say the tinier number of the two is always going to be my atomic number. The atomic number always tells me two things. Number of protons, number of electrons. Good. Okay. So let's look at lithium up there. Lithium has an atomic number of 3. I now know how many protons?
3 protons, 3 electrons.
Bingo. 3 protons, 3 electrons. Good.
Would it be 3 neutrons? Don't you do 6 minus 3?
Actually, round it up.
It's supposed to be 7 minus 3.
7 minus 3. That's right.
And the mass equals the electron. I mean, the neutrons and the protons, right?
That's right. Good. So you're right. This bigger number down here, we're just going to round to the nearest whole number. So, you know, 40 for calcium tells me two things. What are they? Protons plus neutrons. And where do you find protons and neutrons?
In the nucleus.
Yeah, so that tells me most of the weight of that atom is in the nucleus. Let me put it to you this way. Get on your scale with your watch or without your watch. Is your weight going to change?
Not much.
Teeny tiny bit, right? If you weigh an atom without your electrons, that doesn't weigh much. Yeah, so the change is negligible. Right. Electrons don't weigh that much. So we say, ha, heck, don't even include them. Just use your protons and your electrons. If you guys have a course pack printed out, or even if you don't, you can pull this off the website on ND2L. Try page 6. I want to know where you're getting stuck, because that's where I want to help you come Tuesday. Okay?
Page 6.
Okay, there's no answers there. But if you want answers, try page 7. It has answers on page 8. Okay, so there's 3 pages of worksheet.
All 2 of them?
I would do as many as you can. If you can do them all, great.
Draw the model and stuff?
Yeah, you don't have to draw the picture out. Just fill in the blanks. Okay, how about questions for today? All right. Y'all have a great weekend. I will see you on Tuesday.
What